Chapter 9, 26 to 31. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. But when the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. And Acts chapter 13, 1 to 3. Now in the church in Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaum, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off.
Good morning, church. It's a beautiful day today. We thank God for his blessings and the strength that God has given it to us. Today we are going to hear something about the Spirit and Christian service. That's the theme, the Spirit and the Christian service. Father, I commit myself into your hands. We thank you for today. We are here to hear your word. So, Father, speak through me. You know your servant, I know nothing. But your children are here to hear your voice. So speak to our hearts. Don't let us leave you the same way we came. But touch us before we leave. Thank you for being here with us. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. There is so much drama in today's scripture, isn't there? Paul, soon after his conviction and fresh from escaping death threat in Damascus, arrived in Jerusalem, where he faced suspicions from Christians and an attempted murder from some Greek-speaking Jewish. Why so much drama? If we listen to the Bible reading, there is a lot of drama. Fairly possible, God was using the disturbance to mold Saul into someone fit for his divine purpose. By Paul's own admission, he was an arrogant man before his conviction. You can imagine how some of that arrogance might still have been present as he tried to convict people earlier on. Maybe the man who had once spent his life breathing deadly threats against Christians still needed to learn Jesus' teaching about being poor in spirit. Acts 9, 1, talk about humility. So it is possible that God was using the chaos Paul encountered in Jerusalem to help him examine his heart and see where he still needed to change. The Holy Spirit is the divine author and finisher of our faith. And through Christian service, transforming believers into efficient witness service. Efficient through spiritual empowerment, the Holy Spirit calls believers into service, providing spiritual gifts for building up the church, and sustain them through spiritual warfare. Christian service is the Holy Spirit working through us, cleansing us and using us for divine ministry. Often we view Christian service as a checklist of tasks, like volunteering, helping, teaching, etc. Whatever you are doing in the Christian service, it's not a checklist. Once you have committed yourself to God and you want to do something for Him, just be open. Allow Him to take control over you. If you are coming to church and you think you are coming to fellowship, but you are not preparing your heart, you are not preparing yourself, you are not going to receive anything from God. But if you are coming and you tell yourself that, I know I'm going to meet Jesus today, I want Jesus to speak to me, you are going to hear His voice before you leave. If you are volunteering to do anything in the group for God, because He said, where one or two are gathered, there I may be. So wherever you are, whatever you are doing for the Lord, don't think you are doing it for yourself. You are doing anybody favor. But allow God to take control over your heart. That is the time He is going to use you. Doing something for God is not a checklist, but allow God to use you. Why good they can lead to? If you are doing it by your own self, it can lead to burnout. The Bible presents a different model, that is service energized by power from on high. Let us take a closer look at Saul. Conviction and the Christian unwillingness to accept him. The bottom line is, we are always fearful for the unknown. Everybody is very fear about unknown because you don't know what is coming. Acts 9 covers the dramatic event of Saul's conviction on his way to Damascus, how he had the mandate to capture and torture Christians, how to meet Jesus in a blinding light with the question, why are you persecuting me? How he was instructed to go to Damascus and wait. How a willing and unfeared Ananias was told to go and pray for Saul, regardless as he has been chosen to take the gospel to the Gentiles, kings and rulers. So Ananias did as he was told, went and prayed, and Saul received his sight. We all know how Saul became Paul, the way he get authority, power, to go to Damascus and capture all the Christians, brought them to Jerusalem and killed them. So if I've heard about this man and God told you to go and pray for that person, will you go? How would you feel? Having received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, Saul immediately went out to preach the good news of Jesus. Starting in the synagogues in Damascus and the nearby towns, he preached for 3 years. However, the Jews and the governors in that area plotted to kill him. Despite the danger, Saul preached boldly, demonstrating that his conviction in Christ is stronger than his fear of death. Following truth, the believers helped Saul escape to Tarsus. This illustrates how was God protect his servant while moving them towards their larger ministry. In Saul's case, being prepared for his work among the Gentiles. Sometimes when you are moving from one place to another place, you don't know what God has for you. when you picture, you think about God, and you know that if God is sending you to that place, he always makes you do the right thing. He always lets you see the purpose, the reason why you are here, the reason why you are going to where you are going. So we need to be open and allow Jesus to be in us so that we will know what he wants to tell us. After 3 years, Saul, now Paul decided to return to Jerusalem by returning to the very place where he had endlessly persecuted the Christians. Was Paul expecting to be received with open arms? Certainly not. You will recall that in his previous position as a high-ranking officer, he had personally supervised the stoning of Stephen. Isn't it therefore ironic that Paul was continuing the very work for which Stephen was killed? Of course, the Christians were suspicious and afraid of him. And who wouldn't be? They remember him as the man who was breathing deadly threats against them. They knew his track record and wondered, has he truly changed? Is he trying to fool us? Can he be trusted? Church had a hard time believing that God's grace could transform an enemy into a brother, a feared persecutor into a bold preacher. There is nothing is possible for God. Once you open up to him, God comes to you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. All that God wants from you is your heart, your repentance heart, and he will start from there. If, for instance, you had a friend and it has become present among your wider circle of friends that something always went missing after her visit. She disappeared and suddenly appears after 3 years, claiming to be changed. Would you believe her? How would you react? Would you welcome her with open arms? Would you give her another chance? Assuming you would, others wouldn't. Human nature tries to remember past transgressions and are very suspicious of sudden transformation. That is exactly what happens to Paul. He couldn't be trusted. Sometimes we too can doubt the power of God to transform the worst of people into the best. If you haven't seen any evidence and somebody is telling you, this is me, it's so difficult, especially if you know the person's weak point and the person is telling you, hey, I've changed, and you haven't seen any evidence. We do believe the person, because character is difficult to change unless you have decided, you have made your mind, you have repented. But if you haven't done all these three things, there's no way you can change from that attitude, from that character. But as soon as you allow God to take control over your weakness, anything that is holding you back, that is pulling you down from God, as soon as you give out to him, he takes control over it and he sets you free. And before we believe you, Bible says, by their fruit we shall know them. So before we believe you, you need to put it into practice for us to know that that weakness has gone. That is exactly what happens to Paul. They are not believing him because they haven't seen anything. But God has touched him. The disciples were ununderstandably afraid of Paul. They were suspicious of his sudden turn from persecutor to believer. Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, plays an essential role here. He acts as an advocate. Taking Saul to the apostles and sharing how Saul had been the God. Saul has seen the Lord and preached boldly in Damascus. In situations like Paul's, we all need a Barnabas figure in our lives. Someone willing to risk his or her own reputation to encourage, defend, and guarantee our transformation. We also need the grace to accept those who have truly changed. We're supposed to be Barnabas in each other's life. Barnabas is encourager. If somebody comes to you and says something to you, please, let us encourage the person. Let us let the person know that this is not the end of your life. This is not the end of your road. It doesn't matter whatever it is. Once we have God, once we have Jesus, once we have Holy Spirit, there is nothing for us to be afraid. Barnabas stood up and he advocated for Paul to let everybody know that yes, Paul have seen Jesus. He's no more Saul anymore. Now he is Paul. Over time, Paul's faith became obvious to the earlier believers, especially back in his hometown. With trust established and now reconciled with the apostles, Paul moved freely in Jerusalem, debating the Hellenistic Jews. Just as Stephen had, he was at the heart of a new spread of the message of Jesus Christ to all people. Now, some 11 or 12 years after conviction, he began to fulfill the ministry to which he was called as an apostle for Jesus Christ. Do you have a calling? How do you know if God has called you? To something specific, how do you facilitate an atmosphere to how God speaks? How do you know God's will? Are you seeking God's will? Let's see how God guided Paul and Barnabas. Now, Paul and Barnabas and a group of Christians are in church in Antioch. I love this verse. Paul, Barnabas, and the group of Christians are in church. While they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work to which I have called them." So, after they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and set them off. When they were praying, when they were accord, when they were thinking the same, when they are seeking, God spoke through them. The laying on the hands is a significant act. It symbolizes the transfer of blessing, healing, authority, or the Holy Spirit. It is considered the core principle of the Christian faith, used for commissioning leaders and imparting spiritual gifts. It is comparable to an ordination. Notice that the whole event begins with a group of Christians in the church, exercising the spiritual gift they had been given. it was clear that there were three men who were prophets and two men who were teachers. The Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet and empowering them to dedicate Paul and Barnabas to his divine purpose. Thus began the work of God through Paul to preach to the Gentiles, kings, and all the world. Paul and Barnabas made themselves available for God's work. Are you ready, willing, and able to answer the call to service? Today, if you would hear his voice, please do not harden your heart. Wherever you are, if you heard a word from God, if someone is speaking and that word goes straight to your heart, don't harden your heart. Allow Jesus to use you, because you are not there for nothing. You are there for a reason. God wants you there for you to hear what is going on, because he wants to use you. Wherever you are, present yourself as a child of God. Our third Bible reading from Joel. Our reading from Joel touched on the promise of two extraordinary gifts from God to us: the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of salvation. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples, Peter recognized it as the fulfillment of God's word, as overtold by Joel hundreds of years ago. We learn that God's saving grace is not limited to one group of people, that by his Spirit, he calls people from all walks of life, every tribe, every tongue, every nation to himself. God still offers the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the salvation to all who call upon his name today. If you call God today, if you are open up to him, the Spirit is still working. God is going to give it to you, what he wants you to have, not what somebody is putting it into practice, or not what you want, but what God wants you to have. And he's giving it to you for a purpose, for you to do his work. The work can come to at any form. It can maybe come like a cleaning. It can come like a potter. It can come a different way. So whatever that you can do to build the church, please, don't harden your heart. Don't stay back. Don't look down upon yourself, because God wants to use you. That is why he has given you that gift. Let us explore the link between the prophecy of Joel and the Acts of the Apostle. In the fulfillment of all flesh, Joel promises the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, breaking down barriers, as gospel demonstrated this by the inclusion of Saul. The disciples were afraid of him due to his past, but Barnabas encouraged the work of the Spirit in Saul's life and brought him into the fold. This highlights that all in Joel includes even the most unlikely covenant. The for boldness and supernatural transformation, Joel states that sons and daughters will prophesy, implying bold proclamation, as described saw us speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Jesus and disputing with the harassers. This boldness is a direct result of the Spirit poor. Is the Holy Spirit poor turning a persecutor into a proclaimer, an enemy into a companion? Peace and growth, joyous peace of salvation and deliverance in Zion or Jerusalem. As I say that, the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a period of peace and strengthened by the Spirit. They grew in number, living in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In short, Joel is the prophet of the Spirit led years ago, and Acts is an intense demonstration of that prophecy in action, transforming lives, empowering boldness, and building the church. To recap, we have learned about the transformative power of God that can turn a feared persecutor into a bold preacher, an enemy into a companion. We have learned about the importance of reconciliation and unity in the church, the strength of the believers that the church, after this period of disturbance, experienced peace and growth in number and in spiritual maturity, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It's my prayer to each other. Have the grace to accept that the information of life, even one as broken or harmful as soul, is possible through the power of God. Let us learn the importance of encouragement. The more we are encouraging each other, the more we are walking on the right path. But the more we discourage each other, the more we are going back from Jesus. Jesus wants all of us together. He doesn't want to leave anyone behind. But it's up to us. He's not forcing anybody to do whatever you don't want. But he is telling us, this is how I want you to be. Love one another. Allow yourself. Let me live with you and guide you. Allow yourself. Let me help you so that you know what to do. If you allow the Holy Spirit, God is not discrimination. All what he wants is your heart. By Barnabas and an encourager in helping new believers, we can demonstrate ourselves like Barnabas and help new members settle into the community by faith. We need to let people know Jesus in us. We don't need to keep to ourselves. We need to open up. He give it to us freely. We did not buy anything. We do not pay anything. He wants us to give it out freely. How do we give it freely? How do we let people know Jesus in us? How do you feel the Spirit in us? Finally, let us be bold in sharing our faith and testimony in our community and beyond. The more you are sharing your faith, maybe it's not like you need to know the Bible verses. No, your testimony, what God has done for you, is a strong evidence. It's a strong witness. Just let people know. Share with others. And the more you are talking about it, the more the Spirit leading you, the more the Spirit using you. It's not something scary. It's relaxing. Open up. Pay attention, and God is ready to use you. If you want God to use you like he used the disciples, all what he wants from you is open up. Let us come together. It doesn't matter what groups are here. Prayer meeting, Bible studies, coming to clean the church, any group. The more we meet together in the name of God, there he is. And he is willing to give us anything that we are going to ask him. I don't know what you have heard. I don't know if you have shared your faith before or not. Your testimony to give glory to God or to yourself. I don't know what you have heard. I just want you to assess your heart. If there is something that you need to do but you haven't done, and today you hear that, I should have done this. Or there's something you want to do but you don't have courage to do it. To let people know Jesus in you. To share your testimony. Let us go to him. He is the only one can give us a strength to stand. A strength to testify. A strength to let people know that we have him. Without him, there's nothing we can do. Paul was exercising his strength to killing believers, not knowing that he is doing the wrong thing. And at the time he realized that he was doing the wrong thing, he turned the same strength he had and used to testify, to share who Jesus is. We cannot do it on our own. We need his strength and courage. Father, we thank you for speaking to us today. We commit ourselves into your hands. Daddy, we know, you know where we are short. Father, we cannot do without you. Give us strength to do your will. Give us strength to do what you want us to do. Give us strength to be faithful to you. We thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.